The Iliad by Homer, as translated by Alexander Pope. Book 2. Argument. The Trial of the Army and Catalogue of the Forces. Jupiter, in pursuance of the request of Thetis, sends a deceitful vision to Agamemnon, persuading him to lead the army to battle in order to make the Greeks sensible of their want of Achilles. The general, who is deluded with the hopes of taking Troy without his assistance, but fears the army was discouraged by his absence and the late plague, as well as by the length of time, contrives to make trial of their disposition by a stratagem. He first communicates his design to the princes in council, that he would propose a return to the soldiers, and that they should put a stop to them if the proposal was embraced. Then he assembles the whole host, and upon moving for a return to Greece, they unanimously agree to it, and run to prepare the ships. They are detained by the management of Ulysses, who chastises the insolence of Thersites. The assembly is recalled, several speeches made on the occasion, and at length the advice of Nestor followed, which was to make a general muster of the troops, and to divide them into their several nations before they proceeded to battle. This gives occasion to the poet to enumerate all the forces of the Greeks and Trojans, and in a large catalogue. The time employed in this book consists not entirely of one day. The scene lies in the Grecian camp, and upon the seashore, towards the end, it removed to Troy. Now pleasing sleep had sealed each mortal eye, stretched in the tents the Grecian leaders lie. The immortals slumbered on their thrones above, all but the ever-wakeful eyes of Jove. To honour Thetis' son he bends his care, and plunges the Greeks in all the woes of war, then bids an empty phantom rise to sight, and thus commands the vision of the night. Fly hence, deluding dream, and light as air, to Agamemnon's ample tent repair. Bid him in arms draw forth the embattled train. Lead all his Grecians to the dusty plain. Declare e'en now 'tis given him to destroy the lofty towers of wide-extended Troy. For now, no more the gods with fate contend. At Juno's suit the heavenly factions end. Destruction hangs o'er yon devoted wall, and nodding Ilion awaits the impending fall. Swift as the word the vain illusion fled, descends and hovers o'er Atrides' head. Clothed in the figure of the Pylian sage, renowned for wisdom and revered for age, around his temples spreads his golden wing, and thus the flattering dream deceives the king. Canst thou, with all a monarch's cares oppressed, O Atreus' son, canst thou indulge the rest? Ill fits a chief who mighty nations guides, directs in council and in war presides, to whom its safety a whole people owes, to waste long nights in indolent repose. Monarch, awake! 'Tis Jove's command I bear. Thou and thy glory claim his heavenly care. In just array draw forth the embattled train. Lead all thy Grecians to the dusty plain. E'en now, O king, 'tis given thee to destroy the lofty towers of wide-extended Troy. For now no more the gods with fate contend. At Juno's suit the heavenly factions end. Destruction hangs o'er yon devoted wall, and nodding Ilion awaits the impending fall. Awake, but waking this advice approve, and trust the vision that descends from Jove. The phantom said, then vanished from his sight, resolves to err, and mixes with the night. A thousand schemes the monarch's mind employ. Elate in thought, he sacks untaken Troy, vain as he was, and to the future blind, nor saw what Jove and secret fate designed. What mighty toils to either host remain, what scenes of grief and numbers of the slain. Eager he rises, and in fancy hears the voice celestial murmuring in his ears. First on his limbs a slender vest he drew, around him next the regal mantle threw, the embroidered sandals on his feet were tied, the starry falchion glittered at his side, and last his arm the massy scepter loads, unstained, immortal, and the gift of gods. Now rosy morn ascends the court of Jove, lifts up her light, and opens day above. The king dispatched his heralds with commands to range the camp and summon all the bands. The gathering hosts the monarchs would obey, while to the fleet Atrides bends his way. In his black ship the Pylian prince he found. There calls a senate of the peers around. The assembly placed, the king of men expressed, the counsels laboring in his artful breast. Friends and confederates, with attentive ear, receive my words and credit what you hear. Late as I slumbered in the shades of night, a dream divine appeared before my sight, whose visionary form like Nestor came, the same in habit, and in mien the same. The heavenly phantom hovered o'er my head, and, "Dost thou sleep, O Atreus' son?" he said. "Ill fits a chief who mighty nation guides, directs in council and in war presides, to whom its safety a whole people owes, to waste long nights in indolent repose. Monarch, awake! 'Tis Jove's command I bear. Thou in thy glory claim his heavenly care. In just array draw forth the embattled train, and lead the Grecians to the dusty plain. E'en now, O king, 'tis given thee to destroy the lofty towers of wide-extended Troy. For now no more the gods with fate contend. At Juno's suit the heavenly factions end. Destruction hangs o'er yon devoted wall, and nodding Ilion waits the impending fall. This hear observant, and the gods obey." The vision spoke, and passed in air away. "Now, valiant chiefs, since heaven itself alarms, unite and rouse the sons of Greece to arms. But first with caution try what yet they dare. Worn with 9 years of unsuccessful war, to move the troops to measure back the main, be mine and yours the province to detain." He spoke and sat, when Nestor, rising, said, Nestor, whom Pylos's sandy realms obeyed, "Princes of Greece, your faithful ears incline, nor doubt the vision of the powers divine, sent by great Jove to him who rules the host. Forbid it, heaven, this warning should be lost. Then let us haste, obey the gods' alarms, and join to rouse the sons of Greece to arms." Thus spoke the sage. The kings without delay dissolve the council, and their chief obey. The sceptred rulers lead. The following host, poured forth by thousands, darkens all the coast. As from some rocky cleft the shepherd sees, clustering in heaps on heaps, the driving bees, rolling and blackening, swarms succeeding swarms, with deeper murmurs and more hoarse alarms. Dusky they spread, a close embodied crowd, and o'er the veil descends the living cloud. So from the tents and ships a lengthened train spreads all the beach, and wide o'ershades the plain. Along the region runs a deafening sound. Beneath their footsteps groans the trembling ground. Fame flies before the messenger of Jove, and shining soars and claps her wings above. 9 sacred heralds now proclaiming loud the monarch's will suspend the listening crowd. Soon as the throngs in order ranged appear, and fainter murmurs died upon the air, the king of kings his awful figure raised. High in his hand the golden scepter blazed, the golden scepter of celestial flame, by Vulcan formed, from Jove to Hermes came. To Pelops he the immortal gift resigned, the immortal gift great Pelops left behind in Atreus' hand, which not with Atreus ends, to rich Thyestes next the prize descends, and now the mark of Agamemnon's reign. Subjects all Argos and controls the main. On this bright scepter now the king reclined, and artful thus pronounced the speech designed. Ye sons of Mars, partake your leader's care, heroes of Greece and brothers of the war. Of partial Jove with justice I complain, and heavenly oracles believed in vain a safe return was promised to our toils, renowned, triumphant, and enriched with spoils. Now shameful flight alone can save the host, our blood, our treasure, and our glory lost. So Jove decrees, resistless lord of all, at whose command whole empires rise or fall, he shakes the feeble props of human trust, and towns and armies humbles to the dust. What shame to Greece a fruitful war to wage, oh, lasting shame in every future age, once great in arms, the common scorn we grow, repulsed and baffled by a feeble foe. So small their number that if wars were ceased and Greece triumphant held a general feast, all ranked by tens, whole decades when they died must want a Trojan slave to pour the wine. But other forces have our hopes o'erthrown, and Troy prevails by armies not her own. Now 9 long years of mighty Jove are run, since first the labors of this war begun. Our cordage torn, decayed our vessels lie, and scarce ensure the wretched power to fly. Haste then! forever leave the Trojan wall. Our weeping wives, our tender children call. Love, duty, safety, summon us away. 'Tis nature's voice, and nature we obey. Our shattered barks may yet transport us o'er, safe and inglorious, to our native shore. Fly, Grecians, fly, your sails and oars employ, and dream no more of heaven-defended Troy. His deep design unknown, the hosts approve Atrides' speech. The mighty numbers move, so roll the billows to the Icarian shore, from east and south, when winds begin to roar. Burst their dark mansions in the clouds, and sweep the whitening surface of the ruffled deep. And as on corn, when western gusts descend, before the blast the lofty harvests bend, thus o'er the field the moving host appears, with nodding plumes and groves of waving spears. The gathering murmur spreads. Their trampling feet beat the loose sands and thicken to the fleet. With long resounding cries they urge the train to fit the ships and launch into the main. They toil. They sweat. Thick clouds of dust arise. The doubling clamors echo to the skies. E'en then the Greeks had left the hostile plain, and fate decreed the fall of Troy in vain. But Jove's imperial queen their flight surveyed, and sighing thus bespoke the blue-eyed maid, "Shall then the Grecians fly, O dire disgrace, and leave unpunished this perfidious race? Shall Troy, shall Priam and the adulterous spouse in peace enjoy the fruits of broken vows? And bravest chiefs in Helen's quarrel slain lie unrevenged on yon detested plain? No, let my Greeks, unmoved by vain alarms, once more refulgent shine in brazen arms. Haste, goddess, haste! The flying host detain, nor let one sail be hoisted on the main. Pallas obeys, and from Olympus' height, swift to the ships, precipitates her flight. Ulysses, first in public cares she found, for prudent counsel like the gods renowned, oppressed with generous grief the hero stood, nor drew his sable vessels to the flood. And is it thus, divides Laertes' son, thus fly the Greeks, the martial maid begun, thus to their country bear their own disgrace, and fame eternal leave to Priam's race? Shall beauteous Helen still remain unfreed, still unrevenged, 1,000 heroes bleed? Haste, generous Ithacus, prevent the shame. Recall your armies and your chiefs reclaim. Your own resistless eloquence employ, and to the immortals trust the fall of Troy. The voice divine confessed the warlike maid. Ulysses heard, nor uninspired obeyed. Then meeting first Atrides from his hand, received the imperial scepter of command, thus graced attention and respect to gain. He runs, he flies through all the Grecian train. Each prince of name or chief in arms approved, he fired with praise or with persuasion moved. Warriors like you, with strength and wisdom blessed, by brave example should confirm the rest. The monarch's will not yet revealed appears. He tries our courage, but resents our fears. The unwary Greeks his fury may provoke. Not thus the king in secret council spoke. Jove loves our chief, from Jove his honour springs. Beware, for dreadful is the wrath of kings. But if a clamorous, vile plebeian rose, him with reproof he checked or tamed with blows. Be still, thou slave, and to thy betters yield. Unknown alike in council and in field, ye gods, what dastards would our host command? Swept to the war, the lumber of a land. Be silent, wretch, and think not here aloud that worst of tyrants, an usurping crowd. To one sole monarch Jove commits the sway. His are the laws, and him let all obey. With words like these the troops Ulysses ruled, the loudest silenced, and the fiercest cooled. Back to the assembly roll the thronging train, desert the ships, and pour upon the plain. Murmuring they move as when old ocean's roars and heaves huge surges to the trembling shores. The groaning banks are burst with bellowing sound, the rocks remurmur and the deeps rebound. At length the tumult sinks, the noises cease, and a still silence lulls the camp to peace. Thersites only clamored in the throng, loquacious, loud, and turbulent of tongue, awed by no shame, by no respect controlled, in scandal busy and reproaches bold, with witty malice studious to defame, scorn all his joy and laughter all his aim. But chief he gloried with licentious style to lash the great and monarchs to revile. His figure such as might his soul proclaim, one eye was blinking, and one leg was lame. his mountain shoulders half his breast o'erspread, thin hairs bestrewed his long misshapen head, spleen to mankind his envious heart possessed, and much he hated all, but most the best. Ulysses or Achilles still his theme, but royal scandal his delight supreme. Long had he lived the scorn of every Greek, vexed when he spoke, yet still they heard him speak. Sharp was his voice, which in the shrillest tone thus, with injurious taunts, attacked the throne. Amidst the glories of so bright a reign, what moves the great Atrides to complain? 'Tis thine, whate'er the warrior's breast inflames, the golden spoil, and thine the lovely dames, with all the wealth our wars and blood bestow. Thy tents are crowded, and thy chest o'erflow. Thus at full ease, in heaps of riches rolled, what grieves the monarch? Is it thirst of gold? Say, shall we march with our unconquered powers, the Greeks and I, to Ilion's hostile towers, and bring the race of royal bastards here for Troy to ransom at a price too dear? But safer plunder thy own host supplies. Say, wouldst thou seize some valiant leader's prize? Or if thy heart to generous love be led, some captive fair to bless thy kingly bed? Whate'er our master craves, submit we must. Plagued with his pride or punished for his lust, O women of Achaia, men no more, hence let us fly, and let him waste his store in loves and pleasures on the Phrygian shore. We may be wanted on some busy day when Hector comes, so great Achilles may. From him he forced the prize we jointly gave, from him the fierce, the fearless, and the brave, and durst he as he ought resent that wrong. This mighty tyrant were no tyrant long. Fierce from his seat at this Ulysses springs, in generous vengeance of the King of Kings, with indignation sparkling in his eyes, he views the wretch, and sternly thus replies. Peace, factious monster, born to vex the state, with wrangling talents formed for foul debate. Curb that impetuous tongue, nor rashly vain, and singly mad asperse the sovereign reign. Have we not known thee, slave of all our host, the man who acts the least, upbraids the most? Think not the Greeks to shameful flight to bring, nor let those lips profane the name of king. For our return we trust the heavenly powers, be that their care, to fight like men be ours. But grant the host with wealth the general load. Accept detraction, what hast thou bestowed? Suppose some hero should his spoils resign, art thou that hero? Could those spoils be thine? Gods! Let me perish on this hateful shore, and let these eyes behold my son no more, if on thy next offence this hand forbear to strip those arms thou ill deservest to swear. Expel the council where our princes meet, and send thee scourged and howling through the fleet. He said, and cowering as the dastard bends, the weighty scepter on his bank descends. On the round bunch the bloody tumors rise, the tears spring starting from his haggard eyes. Trembling he sat, and shrunk in abject fears, from his vile visage wiped the scalding tears, while to his neighbor each expressed his thought, ye gods, what wonders has Ulysses wrought! What fruits his conduct and his courage yield, great in the council, glorious in the field! Generous he rises in the crown's defense, to curb the factious tongue of insolence. Such just examples on offenders shown, sedition, silence, and assert the throne. 'Twas thus the general voice the hero praised, who, rising high, the imperial scepter raised. The blue-eyed Pallas, his celestial friend, in form a herald, bade the crowds attend. The expecting crowds in still attention hung, to hear the wisdom of his heavenly tongue. Then, deeply thoughtful, pausing ere he spoke, his silence thus the prudent hero broke. Unhappy monarch, whom the Grecian race with shame deserting heap with vile disgrace, not such at Argos was their generous vow, once all their voice but ah, forgotten now. Ne'er to return, was then the common cry, till Troy's proud structure should in ashes lie. Behold them weeping for their native shore, what could their wives or helpless children more? What heart but melts to leave the tender train, and one short month endure the wintry main? Few leagues removed we wish our peaceful seat, when the ship tosses and the tempests beat. Then well may this long stay provoke their tears, the tedious length of 9 revolving years. Not for their grief the Grecian host I blame, but vanquished, baffled, oh, eternal shame! expect the time to Troy's destruction given, and try the faith of Chalcis and of heaven. What passed at Aulis, Greece can witness bear, and all who live to breathe this Phrygian air. Beside a fountain's sacred brink we raised our verdant altars, and the victims blazed. 'Twas where the plane tree spread its shades around, the altars heaved, and from the crumbling ground a mighty dragon shot of dire portent. From Jove himself the dreadful sign was sent. Straight to the trees his sanguine spires he rolled, and curled around in many a winding fold. The topmost branch a mother bird possessed, 8 callow infants filled the mossy nest. Herself the 9th, the serpent, as he hung, stretched his black jaws and crushed the crying young. While hovering near, with miserable moan, the drooping mother wailed her children gone. The mother last, as round the nest she flew, seized by the beating wing the monster slew. Nor long survived, to marble turned he stands, a lasting prodigy in Aulis' sands. Such was the will of Jove, and hence we dare trust in his omen and support the war. For while around we gaze with wondering eyes, and trembling sought the powers with sacrifice, full of his god the reverend Chalcis cried, "Ye Grecian warriors, lay your fears aside. This wondrous signal Jove himself displays, of long, long labors, but eternal praise. As many birds as by the snake were slain, so many years the toils of Greece remain. But wait the 10th for Ilion's fall decreed." Thus spoke the prophet, thus the fates succeed. "Obey, ye Grecians, with submission wait, nor let your flight avert the Trojan fate." He said, the shores with loud applauses sound, the hollow ships each deafening shout rebound. Then Nestor thus, "These vain debates forbear, ye talk like children, not like heroes dare. Where now are all your high resolves at last? Your leagues concluded, your engagements past, vowed with libations and with victims then. Now vanished, like their smoke, the faith of men. While useless words consume the unactive hours, no wonder Troy so long resists our powers. Rise, great Atrides, and with courage sway, we march to war, if thou direct the way. But leave the few that dare resist thy laws, the mean deserters of the Grecian cause, to grudge the conquests mighty Jove prepares, and view with envy our successful wars. On that great day, when first the martial train, big with the fate of Ilion, ploughed the main, Jove, on the right, a prosperous signal sent, and thunder rolling shook the firmament. Encouraged hence, maintain the glorious strife, till every soldier grasp a Phrygian wife, till Helen's woes at full revenged appear, and Troy's proud matrons render tear for tear. Before that day, if any Greek invite his country's troops to base in glorious flight, stand forth, that Greek, and hoist his sail to fly, and die the dastard first who dreads to die. But now, O monarch, all thy chiefs advise, nor what they offer thou thyself despise. Among those counsels let not mine be vain, in tribes and nations to divide thy train. His separate troops let every leader call, each strengthen each, and all encourage all. What chief or soldier of the numerous band, or bravely fights or ill obeys command, when thus distinct they war, shall soon be known. And what the cause of Ilion not o'erthrown, if fate resists, or if our arms are slow, if gods above prevent or men below? To him the king, "How much thy years excel in arts of counsel and in speaking well? Oh, would the gods in love to Greece decree but 10 such sages as they grant in thee, such wisdom should soon Priam's force destroy, and soon should fall the haughty towers of Troy. But Jove forbids, who plunges those he hates in fierce contention and in vain debates. Now great Achilles from our aid withdraws, by me provoked, a captive made the cause. If e'er as friends we join, the Trojan wall must shake, and heavy will the vengeance fall. But now, ye warriors, take a short repast, and well refreshed to bloody conflict haste. His sharpened spear let every Grecian wield, and every Grecian fix his brazen shield. Let all excite the fiery steeds of war, and all for combat fit the rattling car. This day, this dreadful day, let each contend. No rest, no respite, till the shades descend, till darkness, or till death, shall cover all. Let the war bleed, and let the mighty fall. till bathed in sweat be every manly breast, with the huge shield each brawny arm depressed, each aching nerve refuse the lance to throw, and each spent courser at the chariot blow. Who dares, inglorious, in his ships to stay? Who dares to tremble on this signal day? That wretch, too mean to fall by martial power, the birds shall mangle, and the dogs devour. The monarch spoke, and straight a murmur rose, loud as the surges when the tempest blows, that dashed on broken rocks tumultuous roar, and foam and thunder on the stony shore. Straight to the tents the troops dispersing bend, the fires are kindled, and the smokes ascend. With hasty feast they sacrifice and pray, to avert the dangers of the doubtful day. A steer of 5 years' age, large-limbed and fed, to Jove's high altars Agamemnon led. There bade the noblest of the Grecian peers, and Nestor first as most advanced in years. Next came Idomeneus, and Tydeus' son Ajax the less, and Ajax Telamon. Then wise Ulysses in his rank was placed, and Menelaus came unbid the last. The chiefs surround the destined beast, and take the sacred offering of the salted cake. When thus the king prefers his solemn prayer, O thou, whose thunder rends the clouded air, who in the heaven of heavens hast fixed thy throne, supreme of gods, unbounded and alone, here, and before the burning sun descends, before the night her gloomy veil extends, lo, in the dust be laid yon hostile spires, be Priam's palace sunk in Grecian fires, in Hector's breast be plunged this shining sword, and slaughtered heroes groan around their lord. Thus prayed the chief. His unavailing prayer, great Jove refused, and tossed in empty air. The god, averse, while yet the fumes arose, prepared new toils and doubled woes on woes. Their prayers performed, the chiefs the rite pursue, the barley sprinkled, and the victim slew. The limbs they sever from the enclosing hide, the thighs selected to the gods divide. On these, in double coals involved with art, the choicest morsels lie from every part. From the cleft wood the crackling flames aspires, while the fat victims feed the sacred fire. The thighs thus sacrificed, and entrails dressed, the assistants part, transfix, and roast the rest. Then spread the table, the repast prepare, each takes his seat, and each receives his share. Soon as the rage of hunger was suppressed, the generous Nestor thus the prince addressed. Now bid thy heralds sound the loud alarms, and call the squadrons sheathed in brazen arms. Now seize the occasion, now the troops survey, and lead to war when heaven directs the way. He said, the monarch issued his commands. Straight the loud heralds call the gathering bands. The chiefs enclose their king. The hosts divide in tribes and nations ranked on either side. High in the midst the blue-eyed virgin flies. From rank to rank she darts her ardent eyes. The dreadful Aegis, Jove's immortal shield, blazed on her arm, and lightened all the field. Round the vast orb a hundred serpents rolled, formed the bright fringe, and seemed to burn in gold. With this each Grecian's manly breast she warms, swells their bold hearts and strings their nervous arms. No more they sigh, inglorious to return, but breathe revenge, and for the combat burn. As on some mountain through the lofty grove, the crackling flames ascend and blaze above. The fires expanding as the winds arise, shoot their long beams and kindle half the skies. So from the polished arms and brazen shields a gleamy splendor flashed along the fields, not less their number than the embodied cranes, or milk-white swans in Asius' watery plains, that o'er the windings of Caistus springs, stretch their long necks and clap their rustling wings. Now tower aloft and course in airy rounds, now light with noise the field resounds. Thus numerous and confused, extending wide, the legions crowd Scamander's flowery side. With rushing troops the plains are covered o'er, and thundering footsteps shake the sounding shore. Along the river's level meads they stand, thick as in spring the flowers adorn the land, or leaves the trees, or thick as insects play, the wandering nation of a summer's day. That drawn by milky streams at evening hours in gathered swarms surround the rural bowers. From pale to pale with busy murmur run the gilded legions glittering in the sun. So thronged, so close, the Grecian squadron stood in radiant arms and thirst for Trojan blood. Each leader now his scattered force conjoins in close array and forms the deepening lines. Not with more ease the skilful shepherd swain collects his flocks from thousands on the plain. The King of Kings, majestically tall, towers o'er his armies and outshines them all. Like some proud bull that round the pastures leads his subject herds, the monarch of the Medes, great as the gods, the exalted chief was seen. His strength like Neptune and like Mars is mien. Jove o'er his eyes celestial glory spread, and dawning conquest played around his head. Say, virgins, seated round the throne divine, all-knowing goddesses, immortal nine, since earth's wide regions, heaven's unmeasured height, and hell's abyss hide nothing from your sight, we, wretched mortals, lost in doubts below, but guess by rumour, and but boast we know. Oh, say what heroes, fired by thirst of fame, or urged by wrongs to Troy's destruction came. To count them all demands a thousand tongues, a throat of brass and adamantine lungs. Daughters of Jove, assist, inspired by you, the mighty labour dauntless I pursue. What crowded armies from what climes they bring, their names, their numbers, and their chiefs I sing. The hardy warriors whom Boeotia bred, Peneleus, Laertes, Prothonor led. With these Arcesilaus and Clonius stand, equal in arms and equal in command. These head the troops that rocky Aulis yields, and Eetion's hills and Here's watery fields, and Schonos, Scolos, Graea near the main, and Mycalessia's ample piny plain. Those who in Petion or Elysian dwell, or Harma where Apollo's prophet fell, Helion and Hyle, which the springs o'erflow, and Medion lofty, and Ocalia low, or in the meads of Haliartus stray, or Thespia sacred to the god of day, Onchestus, Neptune's celebrated groves, Copiae and Thisbe, famed for silver doves, for flocks, Erythrae, Glycer for the vine, Platea green, and Nysa the divine, and they whom Thebes' well-built walls enclose, where mighty Eutresis, Corona rose, and on, rich, with purple harvests crowned, and Anthedon, Boeotia's utmost bound. Full 50 ships they send, and each conveys 60 warriors through the foaming seas. To these succeed Asplodon's martial train, who plough the spacious Orchomenian plain. Two valiant brothers rule the undaunted throng, Aealmon and Ascalaphus the strong, sons of Astyoch the heavenly fair, whose virgin charms subdued the god of war. In Actor's court, as she retired to rest, the strength of Mars the blushing maid compressed. Their troops in 30 sable vessels sweep with equal oars the horse resounding deep. The Phocians next in 40 barks repair. Epistrophus and Scadius head the war, from those rich regions where Cephisus leads his silver current through the flowery meads, from Panopia, Chrysa the divine, where Anemoria's stately turrets shine, where Pithos, Daulis, Cyparissus stood, and fair Lilae views the rising flood. These ranged in order on the floating tide, close on the left, the bold Boeotian side. Fierce Ajax led the Locrian squadrons on, Ajax the less, Oileus' valiant son, skilled to direct the flying dart aright, swift in pursuit and active in the fight, him as their chief the chosen troops attend, which Bessa, Thronos, and rich Sinos send, Opus, Calliaris, and Scarface bands, and those who dwell where pleasing Augea stands, and where Boagrius floats the lowly lands, or in fair Tarphe's sylvan seats reside, in 40 vessels cut the yielding tide. Euboea next her martial sons prepares, and sends the brave Abantes to the wars. Breathing revenge in arms, they take their way from Chalcis's walls and strong Eretria, the Estean fields for generous vines renowned, the fair Caristos and the Styrian ground, where Dios from her towers o'erlooks the plain, and high Cerinthus views the neighbouring main. Down their broad shoulders falls a length of hair. Their hands dismiss not the long lance in air, but with protended spears in fighting fields pierce the tough corslets and the brazen shields. 20 ships transport the warlike bands, which bold Elphenor, fierce in arms, commands. 50 more from Athens stem the main, led by Menestheus through the liquid plain. Athens the fair, where great Erechtheus swayed, that owed his nurture to the blue-eyed maid. But from the teeming furrow took his birth, the mighty offspring of the foodful earth. him Pallas placed amidst her wealthy fane, adored with sacrifice and oxen slain, whereas the years revolve her altar's blaze, and all the tribes resound the goddess's praise. No chief like thee, Mnestheus, Greece could yield, to martial armies in the dusty field, the extended wings of battle to display, or close the embodied host in firm array. Nestor alone, improved by length of days, for martial conduct bore an equal praise. With these appear the Salaminian bands, whom the gigantic Telamon commands. In 12 black ships to Troy they steer their course, and with the great Athenians join their force. Next move to war the generous Argive train, from high Trozene and Mesetis plain, and fair Aegina circled by the main, whom strong Tirinthe's lofty walls surround, and Epidaure with viny harvest crowned, and where fair Asinon and Hamoin show, their cliffs above and ample bay below, these by the brave Euryalus were led, great Sthenelus and greater Diomed, but chief Tydides bore the sovereign sway. In 40 barks they plow the watery way, the proud Mycenae armies, her martial powers, Cleon, Corinth, with imperial towers, fair Erythrae, Ornia's fruitful plain, and Aegion, and Adrastus' ancient reign, and those who dwell along the sandy shore, and where Pelene yields her fleecy store, where Hellas and Hyperesia lie, and Gonoessa's spires salute the sky. Great Agamemnon rules the numerous band, 100 vessels in long order stand, and crowded nations wait his dread command. High on the deck the king of men appears, and his refulgent arms in triumph wears, proud of his host, unrivaled in his reign, in silent pomp he moves along the main. His brother follows, and to vengeance warms the hardy Spartans exercised in arms, Pheris and Brisia's valiant troops, and those whom Lacedaemon's lofty hills enclose, or Messis towers for silver doves renowned, Amyclae, Laos, Alzia's happy ground, and those whom Otilus low walls contain, and Helos on the margin of the main, these o'er the bending ocean Helen's cause, in 60 ships with Menelaus draws, eager and loud from man to man he flies, revenge and fury flaming in his eyes, while vainly fawned, in fancy oft, he hears the fair one's grief, and sees her falling tears. In 90 sail from Pylos' sandy coast, Nestor the sage conducts his chosen host from Amphigenia's ever-fruitful land, where Aphi high and little Teleon stand, where beauteous Arene her structures shows, and Thyron's walls Alpheus' streams enclose, and Dorion, famed for Themirus' disgrace, superior once of all the tuneful race, till vain of mortals' empty praise he strove to match the seed of cloud-compelling Jove, too daring bard, whose unsuccessful pride the immortal muses in their art defied. The avenging muses of the light of day deprived his eyes and snatched his voice away. No more his heavenly voice was heard to sing, his hand no more awaked the silver string. Where high, under Selene, crowned with wood, the shaded tomb of old Epteus stood, from ripe Stratia, Tegea's bordering towns, the Fenian fields and Orchomenian downs, where the fat herds in plenteous pasture rove, and Stymphelus with her surrounding grove, Parrhasia on her snowy cliffs reclined, and high Enispe shook by wintry wind, and fair Metinia's ever-pleasing sight, in 60 sail the Arcadian bands unite, bold Agapenor, glorious at their head, and Caius's son the mighty squadron led. Their ships, supplied by Agamemnon's care, through roaring seas the wandering warriors bear, the first to battle on the appointed plain, but new to all the dangers of the main. Those, where fair Elis and Buprasium join, whom Hirmin here and Myrsenus confine, and bounded there where o'er the valleys rose the Olenian rock, and where Elysium flows, beneath 4 chiefs a numerous army came, the strength and glory of the Appian name. In separate squadrons these their train divide. Each leads 10 vessels through the yielding tide. One was Amphimachus and Thalpius, one. Eurytus, this, and that Teatus' son. Deores sprung from Amarsinius' line, and great Polyxenus of force divine. But those who view fair Elis o'er the seas from the blessed islands of the Echinades, in 40 vessels under Magus move, begot by Phileus, the beloved of Jove, To strong Dulichium from his sire he fled, and thence to Troy his hardy warriors led. Ulysses followed through the watery road, a chief in wisdom equal to a god. With those whom Cephallenia's line enclosed, or to their fields along the coast opposed, or where fair Ithaca o'erlooks the floods, where high Neritos shakes his waving woods, where Agilipa's rugged sides are seen, Crocilia rocky, and Zacynthus green. These in 12 galleys with vermilion proars beneath his conduct sought the Phrygian shores. Thoas came next, and Dramanon's valiant son, from Pleuron's walls, and Chalky Calydon, and rough Pelinae, and the Olenian steep, and Chalcis beaten by the rolling deep. He led the warriors from the Aetolian shore, for now the sons of Oeneus were no more. The glories of the mighty race were fled, Oeneus himself and Meleager dead. To Thoas' care now trust the martial train, his 40 vessels follow through the main. Next 80 barks the Cretan king commands of Knossos, Lictus, and Gortina's bands, and those who dwell where Rhythion's domes arise, or white Lycastus glitters to the skies, or where by Phaestus' silver Jordan runs, Crete's 100 cities pour forth all her sons. These marched Idomeneus beneath thy care, and Merion, dreadful as the god of war. Tlepolemus, the son of Hercules, led 9 swift vessels through the foamy seas, from Rhodes with everlasting sunshine bright, Gelisus, Lindus, and Chimerus white. His captive mother, fierce Alcides, bore from Iphia's walls and Selle's winding shore, where mighty towns and ruins spread the plain, and saw their blooming warriors early slain. The hero, when to manly years he grew, Alcides' uncle, old Licymnius, slew, for this constrained to quit his native place, and shun the vengeance of the Herculean race. A fleet he built, and with a numerous train of willing exiles wandered o'er the main, where many seas and happy sufferings passed. On happy roads the chief arrived at last. There in 3 tribes divides his native band, and rules them peaceful in a foreign land, increased and prospered in their new abodes by mighty Jove, the sire of men and gods. With joy they saw the growing empire rise, and showers of wealth descending from the skies. 3 ships with Nereus sought the Trojan shore, Nereus, whom Aglae to Charopus bore, Nereus in faultless shape and blooming grace, the loveliest youth of all the Grecian race. Pelides only matched his early charms, but few his troops, and small his strength in arms. Next, 30 galleys cleave the liquid plain, of those Calydnae's sea-girt isles contain. With them the youth of Nisyrus repair, Cassus the strong, and Crepathus the fair. Cos, where Eurypylus possessed the sway, till great Alcides made the realms obey. These Antiphus and bold Phidippus bring, sprung from the god by Thessalus the king. Now, Muse, recount Pelasgic Argos' powers, from Alos Alope and Thracian's towers, from Phthia's spacious vales, and Hella, blessed with female beauty, far beyond the rest. Full 50 ships beneath Achilles' care, the Achaeans, Myrmidons, Hellenians bear, Thessalians all, though various in their name, the same their nation, and their chief the same. But now inglorious, stretched along the shore, they hear the brazen voice of war no more, no more the foe they face in dire array. Close in his fleet the angry leader lay, since fair Briseis from his arms was torn, the noblest spoil from sacked Lyrnessus born. Then, when the chief the Theban walls o'erthrew, and the bold sons of great Evenus slew, there mourned Achilles plunged in depth of care, but soon to rise in slaughter, blood, and war. To these the youth of Phalace succeed, Iltona famous for her fleecy breed, and grassy Teleon decked with cheerful greens, the bowers of Ceres and the sylvan scenes, sweet Parassus with blooming flowerets crowned, and Antron's watery dens and caverned ground. These owned as chief Protesilus the brave, who now lay silent in the gloomy grave, the first who boldly touched the Trojan shore and dyed a Phrygian lance with Grecian gore. There lies far distant from his native plain, unfinished his proud palaces remain, and his sad consort beats her breast in vain. His troops in 40 ships Podarces led, Iphiclus, son and brother to the dead. Nor he unworthy to command the host, yet still they mourn their ancient leader lost. The men who Glaphyra's fair soil partake, where hills encircle Boebe's lowly lake, where Pherae hears the neighbouring waters fall, or proud Iolcus lifts her airy wall. In 10 black ships embarked for Ilion's shore, with bold Eumelus, whom Alceste bore, all Pelias' race Alceste far out glory of the beauteous kind. Their troops Methone or Thaumasia yields, Olazon's rocks or Melibea's fields, with Philoctetes sailed, whose matchless art from the tough bow directs the feathered dart. 7 were his ships, each vessel 50 row, skilled in his science of the dart and bow. But he lay raging on the Lemnian ground. A poisonous hydra gave the burning wound. There groaned the chief in agonizing pain, whom Greece at length shall wish, nor wish in vain. His forces Medon led from Lemnos' shore, Aulis' son, whose beauteous Rhena bore, the Orchelian race, in whose high towers contained, where once Eurytus in proud triumph reigned, or where her humbler turret Stryker rears, or where Ithome, rough with rocks, appears. In 30 sail the sparkling waves divide, which Podalirius and Machaon guide. To these his skill their parent god imparts, divine professors of the healing arts. The bold Orominian and Asterian bands, in 40 barks Eurypylus commands, where Titan hides his hoary head in snow, and where Hyperia's silver fountains flow. Thy troops, Orgissa, Polypetes leads, and Eleon, sheltered by Olympus' shades, Getone's warriors, and where Orthe lies, and Oleuson's chalky cliffs arise, sprung from Perithous of immortal race, the fruit of fair Hippodame's embrace. That day, when hurled from Pelion's cloudy head, to distant dens the shaggy centaurs fled, with Polypetes joined in equal sway, Leonteus leads, and 40 ships obey. In 20 sail the bold Perhabians came from Cyphus, Gunius was their leader's name. With these the Ennians joined, and those who freeze where cold Dodona lifts her holy trees, or where the pleasing Titoresius glides, and into Peneus rolls his easy tides. Yet o'er the silvery surface pure they flow, the sacred stream unmixed with streams below, sacred and awful, from the dark abode Styx pours them forth, the dreadful oath of gods. Last, unto Prothous the Magnesian stood, Prothous, the swift of old Tenthredon's blood, who dwell where Pelion, crowned with piny boughs, obscures the glade, and nods his shaggy brows, or where through flowery Tempe Peneus strayed. The region stretched beneath his mighty shade. In 40 sable barks they stemmed the main. Such were the chiefs, and such the Grecian train. Say next, O Muse, of all Achaea breeds, whose bravest fought or reined the noblest steeds? Eumelus' mares were foremost in the chase, as eagles fleet and of Phoenician race, bred where Pieria's fruitful fountains flow, and trained by him who bears the silver bow. Fierce in the fight their nostrils breathed the flame, their height, their color, and their age the same. O'er fields of death they whirl the rapid car, and breaks the ranks and thunder through the war. Ajax in arms the first renown acquired, while stern Achilles in his wrath retired. His was the strength that mortal might exceeds, and his the unrivaled race of heavenly steeds. But Thetis' son now shines in arms no more, his troops neglected on the sandy shore. In empty air their sportive javelins throw, or whirl the disk or bend an idle bow. Unstained with blood his covered chariots stand. The immortal coursers graze along the strand, but the brave chiefs the inglorious life deplored, and wandering o'er the camp, required their lord. Now, like a deluge covering all around, the shining armies sweep along the ground. Swift as a flood of fire when storms arise, floats the wild field and blazes to the skies. Earth groaned beneath them as when angry Jove hurls down the forky lightning from above, on Arame when he the thunder throws, and fires Typhoeus with redoubled blows, where Typhon, pressed beneath the burning load, still feels the fury of the avenging god. But various Iris, Jove's commands to bear, speeds on the wings of winds through liquid air. In Priam's ports the Trojan chief she found, the old consulting and the youths around. Polites' shape, the monarch's son, she chose, who from Aeacetes' tomb observed the foes, high on the mound, from whence in prospect lay the fields, the tents, the navy, and the bay. In this disassembled form she hastes to bring the unwelcome message to the Phrygian king. Cease to consult, the time for action calls. War, horrid war, approaches to your walls. Assembled armies oft have I beheld, but ne'er till now such numbers charged a field. Thick as autumnal leaves or driving sand, the moving squadrons blacken all the strand. Thou godlike Hector, all thy force employ, assemble all the united bands of Troy. In just array let every leader call the foreign troops, this day demands them all. The voice divine the mighty chief alarms. The council breaks. The warriors rush to arms. The gates unfolding pour forth all their train. Nations on nations fill the dusky plain. Men, steeds, and chariots shake the trembling ground. The tumult thickens, and the skies resound. Amidst the plain, in sight of Ilion, stands a rising mount, the work of human hands. This, for Myrinne's tomb, the immortals know, though called Betia in the world below. Beneath their chiefs in martial order here, the auxiliar troops and Trojan hosts appear. The godlike Hector, high above the rest, shakes his huge spear and nods his plumy crest. In throngs around his native bands repair, and groves of lances glitter in the air. Divine Aeneas brings the Dardan race, Anchises' son by Venus's stolen embrace, born in the shades of Ida's secret grove, a mortal mixing with the queen of love. Ochilochus and Acamas divide the warrior's toils and combat by his side. Who fare Zelea's wealthy valleys till fast by the foot of Ida's sacred hill, or drink Aesepus of thy sable flood, were led by Pandarus of royal blood, to whom his art Apollo deigned to show, graced with the presence of his shafts and bow. From rich Apaesus and Adrestia's towers, high Tyre summits and Pitye's bowers. From these the congregated troops obey young Amphius and Adrastus' equal sway. Old Merop's sons, whom, skilled in fates to come, the sire forewarned and prophesied their doom, fate urged them on, the sire forewarned in vain. They rushed to war and perished on the plain. From Tactius' stream, Percotes' pasture lands, and Sestos and Abydos' name-brig strands, from great Arisba's walls and Selis' coast, Asius Hirtacides conducts his host. High on his car he shakes the flowing reins, his fiery coursers thunder o'er the plains. The fierce Pelasgi next, in war renowned, march from Larissa's ever-fertile ground. In equal arms their brother leaders shine, Hippothous bold and Peleus the divine. Next Acamas and Pyroas lead their hosts in dread array from Thracia's wintry coasts. Round the bleak realms where Hellespontus roars and Boreas beats the hoarse resounding shores. With great Euphemus the Ciconians move, sprung from Prosenian Seos loved by Jove. Peracmes the Paeonian troops attend, skilled in the fight their crooked bows to bend. From Axius' ample bed he leads them on, Axius that laves the distant Amidon. Axius, that swells with all his neighbouring thrills, and wide around the floating region fills. The Paphlagonians and Palamenes rules, where rich Henetia breeds her savage mules, where Erythinus rising cliffs are seen, thy groves of box, Sistorus evergreen, and where Aegialus and Cromna lie, and lofty Sesamus invades the sky, and where Porthenius, rolled through banks of flowers, reflects her bordering palaces and bowers. Here marched in arms the Halizonian band, whom Odius and Epistrophus command, from those far regions where the sun refines the ripening silver and Albion mines, their mighty Chromus led the Mysian train, and augur Enomus inspired in vain. For stern Achilles lopped his sacred head, rolled down Scamander with the vulgar dead. Phorcys and brave Ascanius here unite the Ascanian Phrygians, eager for the fight. Of those who round Maeonia's realms reside, or whom the veils and shades of Tmolus hide, Meslas and Antiphus the charge partake, born on the banks of Gyges' silent lake. There from the fields where wild Maeander flows, high Mycale and Latmos' shady brows, and proud Miletus comes the Carian throngs, with mingled clamours and with barbarous tongues. Amphimachus and Noestes guide the train, Noestes the bold, Amphimachus the vain, who tricked with gold and glittering on his car, rode like a woman to the field of war. Fool that he was, by fierce Achilles slain, the river swept him to the briny main. There, whelmed with waves, the gaudy warrior lies, the valiant victor seized the golden prize. The forces last in fair array succeed, which blameless Glaucus and Sarpedon lead, the warlike bands that distant Lycia yields, where golfy Xanthus foams along the fields. The end of Book 2 of the Iliad by Homer, as translated by Alexander Pope. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.